You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast, which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Today, my guest is a Twitch streamer and adult performer who was nominated for 2 AVN Awards this year, and she was just crowned the Professional Newcomer of the Month on Pornhub, which is new as far as I know. Let's welcome Dan Dangler.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good. So first off, I'm kind of curious about your name because it's unusual.
Everybody asks.
So I got to ask too, where did it come from?
I say that it was like from soccer. It's just a username in video gaming. That's the whole point of it. It's just, it sounds like a guy as
it
well.
Does.
So I was like, oh, that's perfect. Like if somebody clicks on my Twitch, they're going to stay on my Twitch for like 6 seconds longer and be like, oh, that's not a guy. So it's just a little bit longer they remember me for.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted something like that. So that's all it really came from. I just tried to get something that rhymed with my name.
Okay. Interesting. And it was something that like would be unexpected.
Yeah.
So people would be like, wait a minute, that's...
Yeah, I went with the Dan because everybody... And it's such a male-dominated like area too. Mm-hmm. And so...
Video gaming.
Yeah.
So that's where you got started. You got started on Twitch. So tell us a little bit about those origins.
Well, I actually started, like, I got into content creation. Like, I did a little bit of modeling for fun. But that didn't go very far because I got with a modeling agency and I hated it because they were so, like, uptight and just, like, it wasn't my thing.
This is mainstream modeling.
Yeah. So I did, like, auto shows and all that stuff. And I did some modeling for Audi, and that was, like, really cool, but I didn't like it. And so then I went to Twitch, and I played video games. Didn't expect it to blow up. I was just looking for some friends to hang out with while I was in school, you know, because it's hard to – you don't get a lot of free time in school.
Mm-hmm.
You just have, like, you know, an hour, then you got to get back to writing a paper or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just my fun little escape while I was in school, and then it just blew up all of a sudden. And I was like, well, what the hell do I do with this? Like, you know. And
where were you when you were going to school? You don't have to say the name of the school.
It's called Oakland University, and it's in Michigan.
Okay.
And I was working, and I was teaching, like, teens and taking care of a building full of, like, teenagers and going to school. And then I just streamed on the side for fun.
Wait, you were taking care of a building full of teenagers?
Yeah, it wasn't
You were like a landlord? Like a apartment manager?
So it was this place. It was supposed to, like, educate, like, children after school, but, like, fun. Kind of like a after-school rec.
Okay.
Kind of deal.
Okay.
I don't know, boring. But I hated it. If you're watching this, old boss, I hated that job. Stupid name, Club Educate. Anyway.
Why did you hate it?
Because, I mean, if I'm 16, I don't want to go to a place called Club Educate. The hell? It's for teenagers. That's boring.
Wait, hold on. You're 16, you're a teenager.
Yeah, I'm saying it was for, like, teenagers and stuff to come and, like, hang out at and have fun, but also, like, learn. If my mom dropped me off at Club Educate after school, after I've been, you know, learning all day.
You don't want to learn anymore.
No.
That's enough learning.
Yeah. The kids didn't either. They didn't want to. Nobody wanted to be there. That's why it didn't work. Anyway, so glad that job went under.
So, okay. So you start gaming and you're streaming on Twitch. And so you initially just went on there
literally just a game. Like, you weren't seeing it as a career.
No, not at all.
And then, like, so how did it get so big?
Well, people just kept joining. Well, so I would go from video gaming to, like, just chatting and stuff like that, and put on my makeup and talk to the couple people that I met. Then all of a sudden, it just started getting bigger and bigger, more people. Then I was like, oh, shit, I have to, like, put, like, a whole, like, script to this thing. Not script, but, like, outline to what I'm actually going to be doing during these things. And it just slowly started to become more and more, like, real and more, I don't know, pro, I guess you would say, versus being just, like, somebody who did it for fun.
Right.
You know?
And then I, like, have a little bit of experience with Twitch, but not much. So once you get to, like, a certain audience size, right, you kind of move up in terms of whether or not you can be an affiliate and make money. Yeah. And how does, like, the monetary thing work on Twitch?
You get money pretty soon afterwards. You just have to have a couple of viewers at a time concurrently, which, as a female, you can get affiliate like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a male-dominated platform, so you're, like, guaranteed to get viewers for sure, because males want to talk to females. But it's a really hard platform to hit the, like, top as a female, because it is very male-dominated. You know what I mean? Like,
so it's, like, easy to get into that kind of mid-range, but it's hard to get to the top.
It's extremely easy to get to the mid-range.
Right, like, okay.
Easy to affiliate, easy to make a job out of it as a female.
Yeah.
But it's so hard. You can't become a top streamer as a female. It's impossible.
Really?
Yeah.
There isn't any. There's not a single one?
They've done, like, top 100 streamers, and where there's been, like, one or two girls in it.
Wow.
And stuff like that, so.
What do you think that is?
I think it's just men relate to men more, and it's mostly men on the platform. The girls on the platform want to talk to the men, you know, like, it's just the male, just currently male dominated at the moment. So,
yeah. So, okay. So at what point did you realize you're like, wow, I'm doing really well? Like, how many followers constitutes, like, a really strong Twitch account?
Well, I would say when I started hitting numbers that my people I was watching were hitting, like, my people I looked up to were hitting, like, and I would say that started around 300, 500 viewers at a time. That was when I was like, oh, like, this is, that's crazy. I remember looking at so-and-so and they had that many and being like, that's crazy. And then it just, you know, keeps growing and growing. And it's,
are you streaming anymore?
Yeah, I stream 4 times a week.
And how
if
many
I can.
How many viewers do you generally have these days?
It so depends. I'm definitely over 3K, but, like, I hit 12K the other day doing this, like, thing where you hold your boobs and you pretend that you're not wearing a shirt.
Okay.
It's just the meta. That's what they call it. And you look naked, and I had 12,000 viewers.
Wow.
It's just little
Didn't Twitch
teases.
Get really anal about nudity, like, implied nudity? Like, didn't they ban, like, streaming in bikinis for a while? But now I heard they're allowing certain people to go topless.
Yeah, it's definitely, they're just trying to go with the trends, you know. If they have competitors, they definitely want to go with, you know, we're going to be more lenient now towards the nudity. If competitors go away, they're going to go towards, you know, making their sponsors happier, which is less nudity, you know, and all that stuff. So I think it just comes down to, because they did the, you could do implied nudity, and I was sitting there, you know, doing implied nudity with 12K, and then 3 days later, they pulled that rule really quickly. They're like, that's not going to work for us. Like, our sponsors, or somebody's not happy right now.
The implied nudity rule.
Yeah, so they pulled it really quickly.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying. They're really trying to give us all we can have, but they have to be in the app store and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. It's like that, it's that struggle, that back and forth that so many platforms are dealing with these days.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to branch out into adult?
Oh, I mean, the money.
I mean, honest answer.
Honestly, nothing else. I'm not that really, I say this all the time. I'm not that crazy of a sexual person. Like, I don't do this because I'm not part of the lifestyle, right? I'm not going to orgy parties after, you know, tonight. You're not going to see me at those lifestyle parties. Not that I'm against it. Whatever floats your boat. But you're just not going to see me there. I just really like that I can earn money based off of just like what I have. You know, it's it's, and it's something that I don't mind doing, and it's something that a lot of people do mind doing. So I think it's a perfect fit for me. I don't mind being naked. I don't mind doing all those things. So it's like perfect.
But it's not like your passion.
It's not my passion. My passion's saving animals, and that I tell everybody that too. All my like fans know that my first passion is saving animals. I tell them they're my second passion. I love them to death, but like animals is really my passion. Yeah. If I wasn't trying to like open up my own sanctuary or something like that, then I wouldn't be doing this, I don't think.
Where do you think that comes from? That love of saving animals.
I've always loved animals, and I've always had animals growing up. If I was upset, I went to my animals. I made them emotional support animals, even if they weren't emotional support animals.
Yeah.
And they just always slept with me growing up, and I don't know. I became a vegetarian when I was in seventh grade, and and my parents were like, "You're not going to be a vegetarian." And I was like, "Yes, I am." And just something weird in my head that I've always known that I was like meant to do. So
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, obviously there's your relationship with animals lacks that complicated, you know, entanglement that you have with people.
Yeah, definitely.
they just love you because they love you. And that's kind of all that there is to it. And there's something nice and simple about that kind of love.
Yeah. And like a lot of people go to school for things that they're not really passionate about, and they're in jobs that they're not really passionate about. So when I say that, like, this isn't my first passion, a lot of people get surprised by that. But I'm like, I'm just being honest, you know, it's just where I've ended up in life, and I don't mind where I am. I'm very grateful for the position I'm in. I like my job. It's not like I dislike it. I just, you know, I want to be somewhere else down the line is my goal.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that, because I think about how often adult performers are put on the defensive and how they have to always say, no, I love my job. Like, I love it so much. It's everything I ever wanted. And so many people, you're right, their jobs are just what they do. They don't mind them. I mean, some people hate their jobs.
Yeah.
But it's what they do to, you know, make the living that they want so they can do the things that they care about. In your case, rescuing animals. I mean, there's probably very few cashiers at Vons that are, like, really passionate about, like, you know, checking out your groceries.
But they do what they don't mind doing the cashier job at Vons, so they do it. And they can do what they want with their life.
Right. Well, and I know there's a lot of difference between, you know, running watermelons through the register and like asparagus and broccoli and like sucking dick. I get that. Yeah. But I think that people are so shocked by the idea of having sex on camera for a living in front of people for the world to see that they can't imagine that you could do that in such a casual way. But it kind of sounds like that's sort of like what it's like for you.
Yeah, it's totally. And they don't even know. Like, they think that porn is so like this thing that these super horny people, and they don't know that these two people are taking breaks in between. They're getting different angles. The guy sitting in the corner desperately trying to, you know, keep his blood flowing.
Yeah.
And they don't see all these things that it's not real. It's just putting on a show. Sure, there's real stuff, which is mostly the amateur stuff and whatnot. And there are people who love their job, like people like Angela White, who I've talked to behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah, says, no, she's...
I'm born for this, right?
Yeah, no, she's without a doubt, like, the perfect example of somebody who's very passionate about it.
Yeah, but
like, there's no doubt about that.
Me, I'm like, I'm not passionate about it, but I don't mind doing it. And, you know, and I stress to the people, too, like, you know, these are all coworkers as well. Like, you're not... People are like, how do you not get emotionally attached and all this stuff too? And they don't get it. It's like a job. That's how I describe it. And it's funny, the amount of like girls I talk to behind closed doors about things will admit like they don't finish when they do scenes. Like,
they don't orgasm.
Okay, I don't know how far I can say.
Yeah, you can say whatever.
They don't orgasm when they do scenes, you know. No. You don't know how much lube we're using because it's dry down there sometimes for people. You're having sex with somebody that you wouldn't have sex with, you wouldn't take home from the bar maybe.
Right.
You know what I mean? But your coworkers, and you know that they're professional and you feel safe doing the scene with them. So that's, I don't know. There's so much to it that people don't know, and I just, like, laugh. I'm like, if you only knew.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, one of those things that you kind of have to experience. You feel like once you work behind the scenes, you kind of realize that it is very much
work.
Yeah, it is very much work.
But like I will say though, I enjoy the amateur side of things. So like talking to people, like messaging them and stuff like that on my like OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that stuff. I do enjoy having sex. Mm-hmm. It's not like I hate it. I just whatever. But I just and the live stuff, I love live stuff. Mm-hmm. To me that's like the stuff I really enjoy. But mm-hmm. the scenes is just more of a job for me.
Yeah. No, I understand. So let's talk about like how you literally got into it, right? So when did you make the decision to transition to adult? What were you made an offer or did you seek it out?
I seeked it out myself. So girls on Twitch, all a bunch of them had OnlyFans and I was like, no, I'm never gonna have one. No, whatever. And really I started to think, why am I saying that? And I realized it was because I had people in my life were very judgmental. Mm-hmm. And so once I decided, you know what, fuck that. Like, it's my life. Like, why am I taking other people's opinions about something into consideration when I'm being safe, all that stuff. So then I was like, screw this, opened my OnlyFans, and then it just spiraled and became what it is today.
Right.
Yeah.
So what were the first pieces of content you put on your OnlyFans? Was it just like topless stuff? Or
I did a lot of just like sexy, like modeling mm-hmm. type vibes at first. And then pretty soon I did like a boob pic. So mm-hmm. I'm like, whatever. Like I said before, I don't mind being naked. So put out a boob pic. I got a text message from my mom of my boobs. Yeah. And she's like, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff, like freaking out.
Was not happy.
No. Oh, my God. No.
You grew up in a very religious household, right?
Yeah. I'm like the only girl at my, like, in porn at, like, my, like, stage, I would say. Mm-hmm. That has a family that doesn't agree with what they do and, like, doesn't talk to them because of what they do.
You're the only girl?
I don't know any other girls.
Oh, there's a lot of girls.
Who? Well, I mean, you can't say, but.
Well, I mean, yeah. Look, people's relationships with their parents change over time. So, I mean, I've definitely had people come on this podcast and say, like, yeah, I don't talk to my parents anymore. But that, I know that changes over time. So I don't want to say, like, for sure.
Yeah.
Even if I could think off the top of my head who said that, because, like I said, like,
I've been like asking everybody, and everybody was like, even people with like priests for like dads, mm-hmm. and they're like, they still talk to their like family and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely. When I decided to like release the judgment of them, that's when I went full blown.
Mm-hmm.
So
can you tell us a little bit about growing up in your household? How strict were they?
Oh, very strict. I couldn't wear, like, if I wore a V-neck, it was, you know, called out. You know, if I posted a bikini picture on MySpace of me and all my friends hanging out by the pool or Facebook, whatever.
Wait, on MySpace?
MySpace or whatever.
Wait,
it was.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Was MySpace around when you were?
Yeah, I'm at the end.
I didn't feel like MySpace was so long ago.
I was on MySpace.
I felt like nobody knew what MySpace was.
Oh, I
anymore.
Got grounded for having sexual songs on my MySpace page. Like, yeah. I got grounded left and right. My parents, I don't know. Like, sometimes I'm like, did I grow up fucked up? Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I just grew up very strict household. My brother had a sickness growing up, still does, Crohn's disease, really. He has it really bad. And then my other brother went to Iraq. So they were always, like, worried about them. So uh-huh. I was kind of always doing my own thing. Just
right.
vibing.
Right. And so you, I assume, went to church every Sunday, that kind
of
thing?
Yeah, until I got a little older.
And then what are your beliefs on, I'm just always curious about people's, like, belief in, like, a higher power or God or whatnot. What are your thoughts on that now?
I got confirmed as a Catholic. I begged my mom not to do it because I said I'm not sure that I want to be a Catholic. Mm-hmm. But she said it doesn't matter. We're going to get you confirmed, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So I am a confirmed Catholic, but I am not a Catholic.
But do you believe, like?
I believe that we're here and whatever put us here doesn't want us to know why we're here. Otherwise, we would know why we're here. That's how I feel about it. I'm like, we have the ability to like look into the future and be like, oh, this is what the future is probably going to be like. But mm-hmm. we can't look into the past and be like, what made us? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's what like I'm like, maybe it doesn't want us to know. Like, if we mm-hmm. found out how we were made, like, I don't know, everything would explode or something.
Well, I mean, maybe that would take away what we call the human experience, right?
Yeah. Maybe we're in pods somewhere, you know?
Like, I mean, that, yes, that's, like, all things are possible, right? But, I mean, maybe the part of the human experience is trying to figure out why we're here and what our purpose is. And also, like, maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different ways you can go with it, right?
I just try, and I believe in karma. That's what I believe in.
Yeah.
So if I do something shitty or I think about, if I'm, like, thinking about doing something shitty, I feel like something bad's going to happen to me. So I have the same values in that aspect as mm-hmm. a Christian person, mm-hmm. treat others with respect and all that stuff. But, yeah, obviously not in the sex area. I have a little bit of different morals. Yeah.
So, and you said that you don't talk to your parents at all anymore.
No, they don't talk to me, actually, I should have said. Mm. It's a them thing, which I actually don't mind talking about because I think it's really important for people in a position of wanting to do something, but then they have parents or family in their life that are holding them back from doing it. Mm-hmm. Like their judgment. Like, I know a lot of people, like, their parents want them to be this, but they want to be that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it's like they don't become what they want because of the judgment in their life. Mm-hmm. And that's so shitty. Like, you shouldn't have to conform to be somebody else for somebody else. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're your blood or not.
Yeah, and them being your blood should accept you no matter what you do, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. Or at least have an open mind and have open discussions with you about it. Those are the things that you should receive once you decide to make the choices on your own. Right. You know? But I didn't receive those, and that made me realize maybe it's a them problem and not a me problem. And it took me so long to figure that out. My whole life, 28 years, I would say, to let go of my parents' grip finally and just be myself.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the hardest thing. They say that your parents know how to push your buttons because they put them there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have to say that that's admirable. And I've definitely had people come on the show and talk about how they had to relinquish a toxic relationship with their family and how it was really hard because, you know, we want to believe that the people who made us and the people that we grew up with are the people that should matter the most in our lives mm-hmm. and should be the most aligned with our values and what we want. And that's not the case for everybody.
No.
And that shouldn't hold you back from the things that you want to do in your life. Because when you become an adult, like, then you can kind of create your own family.
Yeah.
You don't have to be bound to the people mm-hmm. that made you if that relationship isn't working for you. And that's got to be a really hard thing to accept.
It's really hard. And another thing is, too, is, like, you're only with your family, like, as a young, if there's, like, you have a, if there's young people listening to this and they're in this position, like, you're only with your family for so long if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, living with them, like, all that stuff, it's such a small part of your life. The rest of your life is your life, and that's something that's not really taught, like, that's you know, true. Like, this is mine. I have to figure this shit out on my own. Like, it's, I don't know. So, I think it's really important. Once you decide to make the choice for yourself to do that thing, it really opens up your eyes to how, you know, your relationships are with people and how they actually are treating you.
It's interesting when you become an adult and you have that sudden realization that your parents aren't always right and that they're just mm-hmm. human beings like the rest of us trying to make their way in the world, and they make mistakes, and some of them are just not great parents, you know, because the thing is, like, anybody can have children.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, take a test or, like, pass a course, you know? So it's just, I mean, I remember, like, because, you know, I grew up, I think probably like most kids, I grew up thinking that, like, everything my parents said was right mm-hmm. and everything was gospel. And I remember getting to a point when I was growing up and I was like, you know, I think that's not right.
Yeah.
You're wrong about that. And then, like, seeing the flaws in them that I never wanted to see before. And then coming to terms with that and then accepting them is like, you know what? They're doing the best they have. They can with what they have.
Yeah.
And they don't have the best coping skills in this situation or in this situation. And mm-hmm. like, that's just how it is.
The weirdest part for me is that they raised me with these values that mm-hmm. they don't hold. You know what I mean? Is I have such different, like, values than them, you know, mm-hmm. like the value of family and, you know, friendship and hearing others out before you cutting them off and just all those, like, not name calling your family members. Just I have those values that they instilled in me. And then to think that they also had them and realize they don't.
It's yeah.
weird, like a really weird, like, juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell did I get these, but you don't have them?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe lacking that self-awareness that you're not living, like, the things that you're trying to teach your kid. Like, you're not actually.
But yeah, it's weird.
Internalizing.
They definitely, what is it? You are what you teach. They
yeah.
definitely didn't. Do that or whatever they taught what they taught.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said that you grew up in a house where you feel like you couldn't be yourself. So do you feel like you're living as your true self now?
Yeah. I struggle with like really, really bad anxiety because of my like growing up and just not being myself, not feeling confident in myself, like not even like when I was a kid, this has been really sad. Sorry, I keep bringing up like no, sad it's okay. stuff, but we're having good conversations.
Wait, so. This on this podcast, we talk about sad shit. We are here to ruin boners one episode at a time. If you thought you were going to come on this show and you're going to hear some hot shit, we will get to that later.
Yeah, promise. I'm sorry. So what was I saying?
I have to humanize her first before you can objectify her.
So what were you saying?
I was saying that you grew up in a house where you felt – you didn't feel like you could be yourself. Do you feel like you can be yourself now?
Yeah, but with the anxiety. So I wasn't taught certain skills that I need, you know, money, like how to, you know, and everything. Taxes, my
– That is like – That is such an issue with so many people. And, yeah. like, it makes me fucking crazy that schools don't teach you,
yeah.
like, financial responsibility. They'll teach you, like, home ec, like, yeah. how to bake a fucking pie or how to, like, build a wood box. But they don't teach you life yeah. skills. Like, yeah. Why?
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, fake 16 and pregnant people walking around with fake bellies and stuff. Like, I've seen, like, men with the fake pregnant bellies on that I went to school with.
Wow.
Like, you win the home ec classes because it was just easy.
Oh.
You know, but, yeah.
Oh, was that, like, the whole, this, like, you have to take care of an egg to learn, like, how yeah. difficult it is to, like, yeah. have a baby?
So there would be any men that joined the class would just get to walk around with pregnant bellies with for pregnant their belly. Assignment.
Like, this is what it likes to feel pregnant.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, isn't even fucking close to what it's like to feel pregnant. Like, there is so much more than goes on than just having a big fucking belly. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's funny. But, yeah, so I deal with a lot of anxiety and just trying to figure out myself as an adult now. Mm-hmm. You know, I deal with a lot of – and the anxiety comes from – stemming from, like, being told this is wrong my whole life. So, you know, if I'm on set – and I'm about to do a scene, sometimes I might, like, almost feel like I'm about to have a panic attack because I was always told nakedness is wrong. This is wrong, you know, like.
So hard to unlearn that stuff.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to unlearn it, and I try to remember, but I try to break it down and be like, but why is it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And try and really break it down and realize it's not me, it's just what I've been taught. And so, yeah, that's the hardest part I'm struggling with now, being myself, like my true self, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really impressive that you've gotten as far as you've gotten at the age of 28, because I feel like we spend our entire lives trying to unlearn the bad things that we internalized when we were yeah. kids. You know what I mean? Because that's mm-hmm. just like burned into your brain.
Definitely.
I mean, they say that your brain is pretty much fully hardwired by the time you're 9
that's
in
crazy.
Terms of the way that you react to certain stimuli and responses and stuff like that. So if you're growing up in an environment where the act of sex or nakedness was always shamed and put down, so that like triggers a certain like
mm-hmm.
reaction in your brain, like your the dendrites of your brain literally follow certain paths depending on like how often certain thought processes
and my
occur.
Path is dug like
yeah.
deep for this naked stuff.
What's so interesting is that you can actually completely you can change your brain chemistry over time, like with practices and stuff like that, like thought practices. It's almost like, you know, your brain follows these well-worn paths, right? It's like if you walk the same trail every day,
yeah.
right? So if you walk the same trail of negativity every day,
yeah.
it's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And the path to positivity is road less traveled, right? Yeah. It's got like bushes and brambles growing over it, and no one's hiked that way. But if you start to take that road to positivity more and more often, you start to wear down that trail, you start to push aside those branches, and then the road to negativity starts to become overgrown. So it's like,
that's what I'm trying to do right now.
It's hard. It takes practice. It takes years. It's like, it's a lot of work. So I have to commend you for even acknowledging that and like working on that. That's
I'm trying.
A big part of it. I'm 45 and I feel like I still haven't figured my shit out. So like, I feel like you're going to be a wise old sage by the time you're my age. You're going to be like, let me tell you how to live your life.
Hopefully.
You'll be at the top of a mountain and you'll be, everybody will come to you. I'll
be sitting there like cross-legged. Yes. Meditating.
We're all looking for ways to spice up things in the bedroom, right? Well, I've got something that will not only impress your partner, but lead to stronger, more intense orgasms. Introducing Popstar for bigger loads and better taste for the ladies. Popstar isn't just any men's supplement. It's designed for those firework moments. I'm talking stronger, more intense orgasms that you and your partner will absolutely love. Imagine the pleasure, the connection, the wow factor, the confidence in the bedroom. Now, here's the kicker. Popstar actually makes your ejaculate taste better, which, you know, we personally appreciate it. It gives it like a sweet pineapple flavor because we all know spitters are quitters. I mean, who knew that science could be this delicious? And they're serious about health. They're vegan, non-GMO, fair trade, all natural. It's not only effective, but it's safe and healthy to put in your body. And hey, if you're a bit skeptical, they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. So you really can't lose. Why not give it a try? Boost your game and let's make those intimate moments unforgettable. So to all the guys listening and the ladies who love them, make sure that you check out Popstar and see what the buzz is all about. With hundreds of 5-star reviews, it's worth a try. Use code HOLLY for an extra 20% off of your first order. You can go to popstarlabs.com/HOLLY or search for Popstar Pills on Amazon. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY. There was one thing that you said to me when I asked you to send me some information about yourself, is that you don't believe in dinosaurs.
No, that's all bullshit.
Okay, please explain this to me.
Whoever made up that, what a good thing to make up for money, right? Holy crap. Museums all across the world full of a bunch of fake bones.
Why do you think it's fake?
Because they are fake. They're all casts made of the real thing. Have you ever met somebody that dug up bones and you seen them dig up bones?
I mean, I don't hang out with a bunch of paleontologists, so I have to say, like, no.
Yeah, but I've asked hundreds of people this question. Nobody has ever been around somebody who, like, isn't, yeah, my cousin digs up dinosaurs. Yeah, my uncle works for this person who has dinosaur bones in there, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. So I'm like, this is bullshit.
But if
I don't
believe
in evolution.
Oh.
I don't. Oh.
Okay. Did your parents believe in evolution?
This kind of...
You came from a Christian background, so...
Yeah, but I got more mainly pushed into Christianity, not because they necessarily were the best Christians themselves.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I didn't believe in I've never believed in evolution. It doesn't make sense to me. Why are there still monkeys walking around if we came from monkeys? You know, where's the middle ground people that are still transitioning? You know,
I think they all died off.
Well, I just don't believe, I don't know, I don't believe in it. I think it's, I'm more of like a, I have to like witness it to actually believe it type person. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in like spirits or any of that kind
of
stuff.
Well, that's different. That's not scientifically proven. So you don't believe like in the scientific method. What about, I mean, there's so many things in the world then that you haven't witnessed firsthand, so you don't believe in like any of those things?
Some things just don't make sense to me. I can't imagine that there is something as tall as a skyscraper, like walking around, stepping on things, eating things. Like, I can't, that's like telling me there's a real tooth fairy. Like, that just doesn't make, King Kong actually exists.
Like, it's pretty fucking crazy, like, to imagine the size of the dinosaurs and how they existed and how they were able to sustain themselves. It's pretty crazy. I mean, I believe in dinosaurs, but
like, don't loop me with this fucking crazy. Yeah,
don't please. Like, you're gonna get. Let me tell you something. You're gonna get fucking messages from a lot of angry paleontologists.
Good, good. Send them to me. I want to see all your videos of you discovering the bones.
You know what you should do? You should do like a special video where you meet a paleontologist. And he, like, shows you real dinosaur bones and, like, takes you on an expedition.
But to me, I'm like, I need to actually discover them myself.
You need to discover the bones.
I don't believe it. Like, it's all phony baloney. Like, them showing me, oh, this is a big, we don't have the rest of the bones, but we have all these ones. You know, we have a mummified person from a million years ago, but we don't have, you know, this, it's just. I hate science. I don't believe in it. Science is stupid.
So I will say, so my daughter's obsessed with dinosaurs, as all children are. If you go to the Natural History Museum, you can actually, there's a whole section where you can watch real paleontologists work on real dinosaur bones.
Mm-hmm. That's what they told you. Mm-hmm. That's a nice thing about you.
I feel
you,
like,
guys had a good time watching that.
I feel like I am not going to convince you that dinosaurs are real in this episode. This is not going
to
happen.
Nope. I need, like I said, I need to be there. I need to trip over something in the desert and be like, holy shit, I just found a T-Rex. You know what I mean? That's what I need to believe in it.
You know what's crazy is that they are coming, and I only know this literally because I have a 3-year-old and like we read tons of books on dinosaurs. I know you're not going to believe this, but it's really interesting. They've come out with so many new species of dinosaurs. There's like 50 new species of dinosaurs discovered every year.
Yeah.
Which is fucking bananas.
Didn't they do that with like Harry Potter and all the Twilights and shit? They just kept coming out with more to produce more fucking money.
Yeah, but I don't think they like found Harry Potter books like buried in like the desert.
I don't know. And then
or under a riverbed.
And then they know what they look like too. I'm like, how do you know what the skin looks like, that it was furry?
Well, so what they do is they compare them to other creatures that live today, that like there's a likelihood. And that's why there's so much speculation around dinosaurs and why scientists don't necessarily agree on certain species and how they work. Because there is a lot of conjecture for sure.
Yeah, until it's nailed down, I don't believe in it. Until they figure their shit out.
All right. Well, I challenge you, audience. I know there's paleontologists watching this because it's just such a wide array of people. You need to convince Dan that dinosaurs exist.
And telling me I'm dumb because I don't believe in dinosaurs isn't convincing me either.
There you
go. You have to have actual facts and
you
stuff.
Need to, she doesn't believe in science, but she'd like the scientific method to prove it to her.
Exactly. Come with facts.
Okay, so let's talk about one thing that you do believe in, anal.
Yes.
You say that you prefer anal over anything else.
Like regular sex.
Okay.
I would say with a partner. Mm-hmm. I've always said I prefer anal over regular sex, but I definitely should say with a partner.
Okay.
I don't prefer, like, if I'm just making a scene, I definitely would rather just do regular sex. But okay, for pleasure-wise, to me, it's just more pleasurable. Mm-hmm. Don't know why. Just mm-hmm. always been that way for me. Yeah, just a booty girl.
Well, so this is something that I learned from Lucy Hart, actually. Thank you, Lucy. That everybody has a different – so obviously everyone's like buttholes are slightly different, but your anal cavity is different too in terms of how straight it is, how angled it might be, et cetera. And certain people's anal cavity just accommodates a penis easier than other people's.
Yeah.
And apparently you can even have surgery to fix your anal cavity to take dick easier.
Don't though, because I'll just say somebody I know, they definitely don't want me to say their name. So I'm just going to say somebody I know actually had their butthole fell out because of like hemorrhoids and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they got their butthole refixed and
they
it
got
was,
so it prolapsed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they got their butt fixed and it was, it's, they still deal with it to this day.
The prolapsing?
Like, of no, just issues of it, hurting of it, like different. Like if there's one thing to not ever get surgery on, it's the butthole. Mm. Like don't ever mess with your butthole because that muscle is so like, you don't want stuff falling out of there.
Yeah. No, definitely.
You want to keep that muscle, that sphincter.
Speaking of buttholes, you've also said that you don't trust people who've never seen their own butthole because they are liars.
Yeah.
Liars. Can you elaborate on that?
So many men go into a room. If you're in a, like a new place, just ask. Like if you feel comfortable, be like, like, men, have you ever seen your own butthole?
If you feel comfortable.
Yeah, like.
If you go to a new place and you feel comfortable. So yeah. If you're, you know, like.
Yeah, just ask them, have you seen your own butthole? If they say no, that's such bullshit. Who's never seen their own butthole? Then you know they're a liar and you know you can't trust them. You know you can't trust them as far as you can throw them.
So, so aligned with that. I had a boyfriend who swore to me that he'd never tasted his own cum, and
bullshit.
I did not believe that.
That's
that
bullshit.
I did not believe.
He's a liar. He's
That's
embarrassed about his sex life. Why are we embarrassed about sex?
Yeah, I was like, why would you not want, like, if you're going to make another girl swallow your cum, don't you think that you should have an idea of what it tastes like?
I'm always tasting myself before I'm with somebody. It's yeah. respect.
And I'm
it's
just,
like making lasagna and not tasting it or something.
Yeah.
Like for the first time, and then you serve it to, like, people, like, or something like
right.
that, you know? You have to taste before you give.
Yeah, I did honestly believe that he was a liar. And it was so funny, too, because he was like, of course I haven't. Like, and I could tell from his reaction that he was worried that I was, like, accusing him of being gay because he'd, like, traces his, you know what I mean, Lita?
Yeah.
Some guys are so afraid to be accused of being, like,
yeah.
gay. They're so fucking homophobic. They're like, I don't. You know,
yeah.
I've never tasted my own cum. Like, what am I, gay? And it's like, no, I didn't ask if you tasted other men's cum.
Yeah.
Like, I asked if you tasted your own, which comes Obviously. Out of your penis, like, literally once a day because men masturbate all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you masturbate once a day, like most men, that's 365 days a year times, like, you know, however old you are from the day that you started masturbating, which was probably in your, like, fucking mid-teens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not once you tasted your cum. I don't.
It's bullshit. Yeah. It's all bullshit. I don't even remember a time in my life where I didn't know what my vagina tasted like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've just always known, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's just something that you check. It's just personal hygiene.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, you know how, like, monkeys, like, pick things off their body?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like you should be smelling. Like, it should be, like, your natural instinct.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to, like, check everything's okay down there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have different days. Our pH level changes. We, you know, have 100%. Periods. And, you know, it's not always the same.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is a different day for your vagina.
Oh, whenever I tell, like, my friends, like, who aren't in the industry about, like, boric acid, I'll straight up be like, oh, if you find a day where you taste a little off, blah, blah, blah. I'll just straight up say it. Like, if you find a day where you taste off, I don't even ask them, like, do you taste yourself? I'll just be like, I'll just assume that they do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, use this. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's funny. It's interesting how when you get into the adult industry and you start, like, having sex for a living, how comfortable you become about talking about hygiene and
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. Like, girls definitely kind of swap stories and educate each other on
yeah.
like the best ways to keep yourself clean and prevent yeast infections and stuff like that, which is like a lovely, like, sisterhood.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's so supportive. It's for the most part. It's very
yeah.
supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any onset anal horror stories?
No, I don't do anal on set, like, with anybody. I just do
okay,
it, like,
so you prefer
in my
it, but then you
it's my
you,
personal life thing.
In your personal life,
yeah.
but you keep it from everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, how do we know? How do we know if you like anal if we don't see it?
Well, I could be a big fat liar, but
you could be a big fat liar.
But who knows?
Just like those fucking paleontologists.
I know.
If you're not showing us on camera that you like anal,
I do show on camera though. I just don't. I only do it with like couple. Like, there's really. I did it more in Michigan because mm-hmm. where I had people I worked with where I was really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it with people I'm comfortable with, and that's very small, select people.
So you've only done it, like, for your OnlyFans is what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't do it professionally because
right.
I don't want to poop on anybody and be that girl who pooped on somebody, you know?
I mean,
and everybody has like, I mean, they don't know, but it happens a lot.
It does happen. And like, but people, everyone takes it. Look, if you're somebody who works on porn and somebody has a poop accident and you don't take that shit in stride, then you're not a professional. Like, we've all seen it. Like, nobody freaks out. It's not that big.
But I just, I'm not ready yet. And I'm sure I'll get there soon because I'm a very quick adapter, you know, like to take things on. It's just like more of a nerve thing.
Yeah.
I one time tried to douche my ass before an anal scene. Yeah, no. I had to cancel that scene.
I've never done that. What happened?
You know, like people give themselves enemas.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm thinking because I'm like, okay, the enema and douche, they're both liquid, but obviously they're different kinds of liquids. So like what?
Wait, why are they different liquids?
I don't know. I just assumed they were.
I always pour the liquid. I just pour the liquid out of the douche and I refill the douche.
With water.
Yeah.
But when you do an
enema. Is enema not water? Is that why my butt hurts so fucking bad when I gave myself an anal douche?
I don't know.
I literally, you know that feeling when you like have the runs and you're like, I'm sick. Like, you start sweating.
Yeah.
That's what happened the second I squeezed the bottle into my butt.
But did you empty out the bottle and put in water?
Yeah. And so I just wasn't. And I got so sick. I was like.
So, because in douche, it's like a vinegar solution, right? Like a very mild vinegar solution. So, even though you took the water out, there might have been some vinegar residue left?
No. This was just a matter of getting water in my butt. I found out if I get water in my butt, it makes me feel like I have to throw up.
Huh. So you've never had a colonic?
Like one by a doctor?
Yeah.
No. Well, not one by anybody else either, but.
Yeah. Well, colonics are, they're intense.
Yeah.
It's like the most uncomfortable 45 minutes of your life.
No,
I feel great afterwards.
My brother used to have to drink all that shit to get his intestines cleared out and all that stuff. But no, I've never had anything like that.
So, did you ever try an actual enema, or did you only try the douche as an enema? No, I just tried the
douche, like,
and then you had a bad experience.
Yeah, and then water got trapped up there too. So later on, I was walking, and it all of a sudden just was. Like, my water broke.
Oh, no.
I was like,
butt water.
My butt water broke. I was like, what is this bullshit? I go, so I go tell everybody now, don't douche your ass before a scene.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was at my house. I canceled the scene.
Okay, good. You were, okay.
I canceled the scene right away. Like, the second I went.
You weren't like the grocery store.
No. I think I stayed home. I felt like I had the flu. I was like, this is horrible.
Wow.
It's something like. You know how, like, when you touch your the little dangly thing makes you feel like you got a gag?
Mm-hmm.
I have that in my butt.
Yeah. You have a gag reflex in your butt.
I do.
Yeah, you love anal. That's so interesting.
Yeah, wait. Fuck. I keep just being – I'm a hypocrite all over this podcast today. I don't know what's going on.
So you were open about trying Ozempic, which I'm interested in because that's something that – you know, like, it's like the drug, weight loss drug to the stars now. And so many people are on it. So many people in the adult industry are on it. And it's been really, like, interesting to see, like, all these people have gotten really skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also a lot of conversation around the concern that it's very bad for your body and very damaging and cause, like, permanent digestion issues. So what was your experience?
I hate it. I'm on it now. I use it.
Oh, so you are on it now.
Yeah. I use
it. But you hate it.
Yeah. I use it the wrong way, though. I use it a little bit different than the way other people use it.
Okay.
So I'm on semaglutide, which is basically, it's just sister drug to Ozempic. And it makes me feel so sick. The dose that everybody starts with, that made me so sick that I had to go even below. Like, I'm on, like, the smallest dose you can possibly be on for it.
When you say sick, like how – like, what did it make you feel like?
I couldn't eat. I was sweating. I was throwing up. I went to the hospital because the mix of my anxiety with like, not hungry. Like, I just couldn't eat or drink.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get the guy come to my house because you can do that here in California, luckily. And he gave me an IV, you know, so I could get some fluids in me. So it just makes you feel really bad. And so I now I'm on a really, really smaller dose. And I just take it when I start, like, getting really hungry again. Mm-hmm. Like when my appetite comes back and I'm like eating like four meals a day and mm-hmm. all the time, then I just do a tiny dose mm-hmm. and then it gets my appetite down again. Mm-hmm. But I have no, like you said, digestion. There's only like I can only eat certain things when I'm on it. Like mm-hmm. other things just sit in my stomach forever. It feels like
you're not digesting
your food like properly. You don't digest it like fully. Some things
like what, like carbs or
yeah, like I feel like the only thing I really eat when I'm on Ozempic is acai bowls, and my sugars, it's a sugar med, right? It's for diabetes. Mm-hmm. So it's like if I'm only eating sugar too, like even if it's natural sugar, I'm sure this isn't good for me. Like something's mm-hmm. I don't know, it's not good. But I'm also plus I'm a short way out or quick way out girl, you know, plastic surgery girly. I'm a, you know, lipo girly, all that stuff. So I'm a quick way out girl. But I tried to lose the like 10 pounds I wanted and by eating healthy, exercising, and I just couldn't.
Like, yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
Like I used to be able to when I was younger, but I think I'm finally at a point where I just can't like get these extra ones off as easy anymore.
You know, it's hard. And I remember when I was in college, if I felt like I was putting on some weight, I would just like literally eat tuna bowls, like tuna for dinner mm-hmm. every night. And then like in 4 days, I'd be back to like whatever I wanted to be.
Yeah.
But it's definitely harder to lose it when you get older. And I mean, I understand where you're at because I got lipo in July. Mm-hmm. And that was after I had a baby. And I really... And I remember, like, when I talked about it, there was a lot of criticism that I got, which is normal. And, look, like, I think people should be suspicious of plastic surgery simply because, like, it can be dangerous and you want to make sure that you do it correctly. So I don't think that, like, everybody should buy into it automatically. So I'm mm-hmm. totally down for people who are like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for me, I mean, I really tried to eat healthy. I, you know, went to the gym. And, you know, I like, I go to Orange Theory, which is like a very hard class.
So, I
like,
went I'm there not, like, once.
Yeah, I'm not never like fucking again. Around. Like, I'm really trying.
Yeah, you definitely and, are.
But I'm also like, I'm not somebody who has the time or the inclination to go to the gym every single day for 2 hours mm-hmm. and to eat like only salads. Like, you know, I have a life. Mm-hmm. So I thought about it for a while and I was just kind of like, you know what? I work really hard to make money. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like where my focus is. So I'm going to use the money that I've worked very hard for to achieve these results that I've been unable to get at the gym with mm-hmm. hard work. But like I don't have the focus where I'm going to go to the gym two hours a day, every day. So and for me, that felt like a fair trade-off.
Yeah. And who cares? It's your body anyway. So
yeah.
If exactly. you wanted to do the opposite of lipo, if you wanted to fill your body up, who cares? Like, you know, it's your body. You can do what you want. Like,
I
that's why I'm so open about my surgery. I have, there's some girls that in the porn industry that I hang out with and we'll be with people and they'll be like, oh, I like, you know, I like this on you. And they'll be like, did you get any work? And they'll be like, no. And I'm like, girl, I know where scars are for that. Yeah. I see them. You know, like when we were drunk, you told me you had surgery, mm-hmm. you know, like stuff like that. And I'm like, you're doing nobody favors by lying about it.
And that's a thing. I think that people are so ashamed to talk about having plastic surgery because they feel like they should be the kind of person who gets there naturally or who is naturally like that. And the truth is like that is not the case mm-hmm. for 99% of the people on the fucking planet.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to use some other methods to achieve the look that you want, I think you should be honest about it because it's not fair to other people who might look at that person and be like, God, they're so perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they're just like that. And like, I'm just like this. And, you know, but if you can understand that like they took these extra steps to get there, I think that it's just more honest.
Yeah.
You know? And it doesn't set like unreasonable expectations for people to have about themselves and their bodies.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. It's just better to be honest about it.
But. Yeah. There's something, and I personally like, I love people that just fucking own their shit.
Yeah.
There's something very refreshing about honesty, you know, in a world where we're just all so full of shit. Including all those paleontologists out there.
Freaking dinosaur liars.
Dinosaur life. Let's make a bunch of shirts made. So you just branched out into shooting professional scenes for browsers.
Yeah, I love them.
I love them too. They're my people.
They're so nice.
So what made you want to film with studios and what made you decide to pick them?
Because they're the best. That's why I picked them.
I know that, but the audience may need to hear why.
No, they're just known for being the best, honestly. That's what made me want to work with them. All the top people work with them. I branched out because I wanted to, you know, I'm a Twitch girl, right? I'm a Twitch girl who gets naked. But now I'm a porn girl and a Twitch girl. So mm-hmm. by doing Brazzers, it just kind of opens me up to a whole new audience, you know. Like, there's a TikTok audience, there's a porn audience, there's a Twitch audience, there's, you know, Instagram, and I was nowhere in the porn audience. Mm-hmm. But now I am because I'm, working with Brazzers, so mm-hmm. that's good.
Tell us about your scene that you did for them.
Well, I've done a couple scenes for them. I've done, promos, days mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And it's just been really good. My first scene got released this year, which was the Cum Blast podcast with Manuel Ferreira. That was good. It was funny. It was like a little sneaky, you know, they're a sneaky scenario.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it was good.
Brazzers loves their sneaky scenarios. Yeah. We're like, oh, we're having sex under a table, but
that was it.
Here and nobody knows that I'm having sex.
That
under
was
a
it.
Table.
That was literally my scene.
Literally every browser scene. And it's such a bitch to shoot too, because I remember I'd get the script from them and I'd be like, fuck, now I gotta find a table that you can see underneath it. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
It got to the point where I was like, okay, I would have to find out what the scene was before I could book the location.
Yeah.
Because they require very specific furniture.
Yeah.
Like if you have to be able to see something happening underneath the table,
yeah.
I can't have a table that, you know, it was enclosed on all sides. It has to be open, and not all locations have that kind of table.
Yeah.
So it became kind of like a thing where I was like, I need to know what I'm shooting because you're going to give me some fucking scene that I can't shoot there because, I can't see under the table.
Yeah. Manuel had to get out of his chair and go on his knees and pretend he was in a chair.
It
was hard.
Lots of camera magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is porn your long-term career plan, or do you have other life goals outside of it?
I don't plan to do this forever. I just want to make enough money to do my animal stuff. And then I want to do my streaming and all that. You know, I just want to get away. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of mental struggle with that, what we were talking about earlier. It's mm-hmm. just a lot on my mental, this industry, trying to handle what I was taught when I was younger. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's a lot. So I'm trying to get out of it by the time I hit 35, I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in invest all my money right now. And
that's
try and,
smart.
Yeah, I'm trying to move over to animals around 35.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see.
What's your ultimate dream with animal rescue?
Well, I wanted to open up an animal sanctuary, but then when I came here, I realized that dogs were a bigger issue. Like, dogs in shelters were a bigger issue than it's not as big of an issue in Michigan or in northern states in general, like the colder states, because there's not as many stray animals, so they don't have kill shelters. But here, it's so bad. So I kind of tweaked my dream a little bit, and I think I want to go towards dog transportation, where you transfer dogs from, you know, packed facilities to lesser packed facilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do, I think. But we'll see what the problem is with animals when I'm 35. Hopefully that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
I do have a couple of questions for you for my Patreon members, which we will save for another quick little segment after this, if that's okay.
Cool. Sounds good.
And then can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
I am the Dan Dangler on everything. Even if it doesn't pop up, search it, because I'm probably shadow banned, so just search it. It's there. The Dan Dangler, all one word.
Perfect.
Thanks.
And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. Of course, if you want to support this podcast, watch these videos while they're streamed live and get access to special bonus Q&A's like the one we're about to do, go to patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for joining, and I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.